Greg,
Yo.
we our sponsor's back. Dine Alone Records, Toronto, Canada. Dine alone. Why dine with others when you can dine alone and listen to music on your own with Dine Alone Records? Our favorite record store. And this is something we're going to ask our upcoming guest. But the last time I was at Dine Alone Records was with you for Record Store Day.
Yes.
When is Record Store Day in Canada?
April 20th.
April 20th. And you are going, I'm assuming, to a record store?
I'm assuming I will be going to
To Dine Alone Records?
said sponsor.
Before we continue and before we get to our guests, I must tell people where they can find us because people can be listening to us on the web, they can be listening to us on YouTube. They could be listening to us in their favorite podcast app. And we're available everywhere. Welcome to the music.com is where you can find us. And if you go to the subscribe section of the website, you'll see a bunch of icons. Most of them, I believe, are updated. And if they are not, just send Greg a message. Ask him to update it, but you will also find links to Apple, links to our YouTube channel, links to Spotify and everywhere else that you can find us. So please listen to our vast library of conversations, over 120 conversations with a lot of great musicians and artists, and consider subscribing, rating, and reviewing us. That will help pay for our records that we're going to go purchase this weekend. It helps to pay. So thank you to everybody who continues to listen. All what's our count up to? Seven people?
Six and a
Six?
half, I believe.
Six and a half. All right. Are we counting our dogs that listen?
Was it 7 years for like every year of a dog's life is the equivalent of seven human
7 years.
years?
Yeah.
So if we count our two dogs,
Your two,
three
my
dogs,
one,
I
three
have two,
dogs. Yeah.
then we have 21 more subscribers than we thought we had.
There you are. We are now ranking in the top 10
In
of
Uzbekistan
Canadian
for
podcasts
Canadian podcasts.
about music.
Hi, I'm Randy Tringan from the Vinyl Junkie Podcast, and welcome to the music.
Randy, welcome, welcome, welcome. It is so great to have you on the show. I want to kick it off with a question that's near and dear to Kareem's heart. Okay.
What?
And that's that, I understand you have about like 4,000 plus records,
That's correct.
somewhere around there. The question is, do you have any vinyl of Socrates?
I
Socrates,
thought
no,
you were
I
gonna
do
ask.
not.
I thought you were gonna ask another question.
You don't have any Socrates because
Socrates, Greg.
I have to bring it up every chance I get.
All right.
Were you at that episode recording the 100th of Welcome with Maestro up above like
No, I wasn't.
okay. It was a disaster. It was an absolute fucking disaster. So anyway, that's all I got. That's
I do
all I
have some
got. I'm out of
Maestro
here.
fresh squash in my
That's why he
collection.
sees Greg's left.
Sorry, what were you saying there?
I do have some Maestro in my collection.
I
Nice.
can imagine. Here's the question, Greg, I thought you were going to ask.
Yeah.
Do you have any Neil Young in your collection?
Oh, of course.
Jeez. All right. There we go. See, Greg? That's the
That's
question.
an easy one.
That's not what I was gonna ask. That's easy. That's
What
a
I
that's
don't have
Yes.
for like, your Canadian, I don't have any Rush. I actually
Really?
despise Rush. And that might be a unpopular opinion, but Geddy Lee's voice just like
Really?
is like like
it's different
on a chalkboard. Like,
well, now some people like Neil Young. Like I was telling Greg, I was on a Zoom call with Neil Young earlier today.
Dropping, just like look at him, just like. Oh, by the way.
By the way.
Like no big deal. I was just on with Neil Young.
Edit out the part where I say there's like 500 other people there as well. But regardless, I was on a Zoom call with Neil. Neil, some people would say Neil has a similar, not a similar type voice, but he has a voice that people would find annoying. So what is it about Getty's voice specifically? Does it hit another octave for you or?
I don't know. I guess it's just the frequency of it. And I totally I totally get the musicianship and how well they play as a band and all of that.
Yeah.
But you throw in Geddy Lee's voice on top of that, and it's just like, it doesn't do it for me.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
We're never going to Geddy Lee on the show.
What?
After this,
he's never going to be on my show. Apparently, so.
Here's our next guest. Here he comes. No, Randy. When did vinyl collecting start for you?
Vinyl collecting started for me like at a very young age. Like, so I grew up in Scarborough, like you two, and my father bought like a Pioneer turntable and console, which I still use today.
The same one. Wow.
And that was from like the late 70s, so I have a lot of his records. And then through the 80s, I guess if you want to pinpoint it, it would probably be like mid to late 80s I started collecting my own things. Wow. So I was up at McCowan and Almost Steel. So there's a little mall there, Woodside Square.
Yeah, yeah.
And there used to be a Sam the Record Man at that mall.
Wow.
And I would go in there and look at the 45s, and I'd pick up like one or two every, you know, couple of weeks or whatever. And that's kind of where it all began.
Nice. So what kind of music was your dad listening to that you've kept?
Anything. So I have his original, like Pink Floyd, The Wall.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
And then, you know, I would wake up on Saturday mornings and, you know, it'd be like Supertramp or like America just, you know, blasting from the living room. And I'd be in the bedroom just kind of like, you know, Saturday morning, that's how I'd kind of wake up to like this wall of sound.
That is so amazing. I would not have guessed. I don't know what I would have guessed, but I would not have guessed that. Greg, what did your dad ever listen to vinyl? What kind of music was playing in your house?
It was probably cassettes back then, I think. Yeah. But my parents were not listening to Supertramp. It was more like Roger Whittaker.
Yeah, he had like Santana, a lot of rock, but there was also a lot of
still to me much way cooler than my dad. But go ahead.
There was some disco in there too. So like Saturday Night Live was in his collection. It wasn't a very big collection. It was probably like maybe 20, 30 records. But there was even some like instrumental kind of classical. But not your typical. It was kind of like a fusion of classical stuff, but redone in a modern way.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. Similar to Greg, my parents had Roger Whittaker. And I've shown Greg the Roger Whittaker stuff. Yeah. I thought literally I was the only kid who ever listened to Roger Whittaker with his parents. And then, oh my goodness, I forget the name of this artist, but he sang that song Mona Lisa, Unforgettable. Oh.
Nat King Cole.
My dad loves Nat King Cole. So I think I'd like
Nat King Cole and Johnny Mathis was another one of my dad's favorites.
Okay.
So there was awesome. a later side to your dad. That
he wasn't like he was all over the place.
Yeah.
And he's kind of even kept it up. Like I remember, I guess 5-6 years ago, we were in the car and he requested to play some Ariana Grande, and I was just like, what? You know who that is? So he has a love for music as well.
That is awesome. What was your first vinyl?
My first vinyl
that you purchased, your hard-earned money, you said, this is what I want to spend my whatever amount.
My first full record was Madonna's Like a Prayer.
Fair enough.
And, and we bought that in Buffalo at the Walden Gallery in a mall at the FYI. And it was there, and it was just kind of like, I have to have this. And we used to go over to Buffalo all the time for, like, you know, shopping for back to school and whatnot.
And was that when the record was out, or was this sort of like a classic album purchase?
It was back in the day. Like, my copy still smells like patchouli. So it's one of the original pressings.
Nice. Greg, what was your first? Do you remember?
My first single would have been Michael Jackson 79. So it would have been like Starting Something or something around there. Yeah. But that was first single, first album. I don't know, like probably Back in Black or something along that lines.
I did have like 45s before Like a Prayer. I couldn't tell you what the first was. But it was a lot of that kind of 80s, so like George Michael, but then a lot of like Men Without Hats and stuff like that. But my very first piece of music was on cassette, and that was Beastie Boys' License to Ill. And I bought that at a Zellers, also at the Woodside Mall.
On cassette, though.
On cassette.
That is awesome.
So I used to live like down at Kennedy and Eglinton, and in grade six, we moved up to North Scarborough. And all the kids up there were listening to like rap and R&B, and Beastie Boys was like the big thing that was being played at, like, you know, people's little birthday house parties that were going on.
Wow.
Awesome.
I can't remember my first ones, but I remember being in England. Well, I remember them, but I don't know what, if it was on cassette, CD. I have no clue. Probably not CD. Mm-hmm. So most likely cassette or record. But it was ABBA. It was Blondie and a British band called Bucks Fizz.
Okay. Never heard of them.
Yeah. Bucks Fizz. They were like, they were always on top of the, was it Top of the
Pops? Top of the Pops.
Top of the Pops. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what I remember buying.
So going back to then, you know, for me, you know, I remember one of the first live albums was a Neighbor's, and it was like, I don't know if she was my babysitter or, I don't know. Anyway, it was, or maybe it was, anyway, whatever, I can't remember, but it was the Who's Live at Leeds. You know, I think of Do You Feel Like We Do from Frampton Live, right? Frampton Comes Alive, sorry. Mm-hmm. You know, even back then, Cheap Trick at Budokan was like classic. For me, my favorite was U2's Under a Blood Red Sky, quite possibly. Again, just like, I just love what that captured.
I might
on
have
that,
yeah.
On that. What are some of your favorite live albums?
Ooh, the one that I kind of, in my collection that I kind of cherish the most is there's this Death Cab for Cutie Record Store Day release that was probably 2013, 2014, somewhere back then. Very, very rare. And literally, I think third person in line, and there's two copies. And literally, they let us in, and there was just hands everywhere. And one person grabbed one copy, and then my friend who was with me knew I wanted that, grabbed the other copy and handed it over to me. And then that was that, and didn't see it for the rest of the day when we went to the other stores.
Nice.
I also have a copy of George Michael's Symphonica, which was one of his later kind of albums that he did with like a symphony. And, I just bought it to fill out my George Michael kind of collection because I really love him. And like, if you go on Discogs now, it's like worth hundreds and hundreds of dollars. It's like, whoa.
That's awesome. Nice. That's awesome. Kareem, what about you? Live album. No, give me a hold on. Neil Young?
So during the pandemic, Neil Young would do these, I can't remember what they're called, but almost like the camera would start at the fire and then it would just be him playing acoustic and he'd play one song. So for my last birthday, my brother got me the album, and I think there's a collection of five songs on there. So that is a favorite of mine. But one of the earliest live albums I got was a recording. I can't remember the year, but there was a festival in England called Nebworth.
Yep.
And I have a recording of that. And the reason that is so special is because I happened to be in England at the time Nebworth was going on. And I was just so amazed that all of these amazing bands were playing a 2-day festival.
I think I have that record actually.
Yeah. And I'm like, this is amazing. I need to. And then when the album came out, I go, I need to have that. And so I bought it because I always have good memories in England because we have a lot of family that lives there. And so it's just an amazing album.
How old were you when you moved here?
How old was I when I lived here? Oh, I've always lived here. Was born in England, but came here when I was still in diapers. So, but still have family, a lot of family back. We call England back home. So I have a lot of family back home. So that would be my favorite, I think.
But the thing with live tracks, it's like, through the 80s and 90s, a lot of the B-sides on singles would be, if it wasn't an instrumental of the single, then it might be a live track. So like one of my favorite bands, the Cranberries, a lot of the singles that they put out, it'd be either B-sides or a collection of B-sides and live tracks from various shows.
I want to ask you, everyone has sort of a different lifestyle. You know, some people have family, some people are single, some people still live with their parents, whatever the case is. Personally, I find I need to schedule or I need to find time to actually listen to vinyl. So here's what I do, and I want to hear what you guys do for yourselves. Maybe it's different, maybe it's the same. But on the weekend, I'm, compiling my stuff to hand into the accountant for taxes. Minaz is doing work across the table from me. Beside me is my niece, and she's, applying for jobs and different things. And Kazmir is across, still doing his homework. And I tell people, name a letter, A to Z. And they'll say a letter. And so my niece picks J, because she loves Justin Bieber. I don't have Justin Bieber. I don't know why she thought I would have Justin Bieber. And so it's my choice on J. And I pick out an album that I have that I probably would never have listened to in my life. Jesus Christ Superstar.
I thought you were going to say Jesus Jones. I, honest to God, before you even said the name of it, I was going to go Jesus Jones. And then you went Jesus. I'm like, oh my God.
Jesus. Sorry. So we listen to that. Okay, next person, name a letter. And so now my wife, she understands the game.
Yep.
And so she says P for police. So she picks out, she knows we have some police vinyls. So, but I'm wondering, Randy, when do you find time to listen? Does it have to be an occasion? Tell me about actually listening to vinyls.
I think I probably listen to a lot more on a daily basis. Probably like 5 years ago, I was very. Okay. And as of late, I've moved around a couple of times, and And sometimes the collection's almost a little too overwhelming. It's like, what should I play? Because there's too much. But to be honest, right now, it's probably like maybe once a week or once every other week. But if you went back like 5, 10 years ago, it was literally like I would be playing something and then I'd be posting that to Instagram right away of what I was playing, et cetera, et cetera.
Nice. Greg, what about you? When do you find time to listen to vinyl?
Mine's more end of day, like end of working day, no meetings, like when I don't have meetings.
On the daily?
Every few days, few days. And then I'm fortunate to have my setup here in my home office. So I'll literally just turn around and go pick something out with a new old and throw it up onto the turntable, which is, wrong way. Right behind me there. The old Duel from the 80s. So yeah, that's my time.
Really. That's cool. Yeah. Ryan, I wanted to take a break from vinyl. I want to ask you this. So, recently we had Stephen Page on.
Yep.
From the Bare Naked Ladies.
Big fan.
Yeah. And you messaged me, said you've got some stories from, I think I have that right.
Yep.
So tell us your favorite. That'd be interesting if you have like a favorite. That means you must have like bumped into him or met him multiple times. But tell us a Stephen Page Bare Naked Ladies story.
So I guess the most cool one was being able to see them back in, I guess it was the early 90s, maybe, no, early 90s. And it was after high school. We went down to the Scarborough Civic Center and they were playing a gig. And literally, it was maybe there was like 10 of us in the crowd.
Jeez.
And they played for like a half hour, 45 minutes. And then, they signed stuff for us afterwards. And this was just before they put out Gordon. So they hadn't quite done their first major release. So the yellow tape was still being sold at the HMV in the mall. So, original lineup, all five of them were there. And it was cool. One of my classmates had actually brought like a Barbie doll that was naked for them to sign.
Yeah.
Bare Naked Lady, right? So, and then years later, I was at the Rivoli. And so I think I was there to see Danny Michel, a Canadian artist. Behind the bar was Feist. So she was working the back bar. And then I was getting a drink. And then Kevin Hearn from the Bare Naked Ladies turns to me and is like, "I know you." I was like, "No, you don't, but I know you." So it was very one of like kind of those surreal moments of rubbing shoulders with guys from the Bare Naked Ladies. But yeah, awesome. I've been a big fan of theirs and the Cregan brothers and all their kind of little side projects and whatnot for years and years.
Greg, I have to tell a story. Do you have a story? Do you have a Bare Naked Lady story?
Well, yeah, I was going to say, Cregan brothers' parents, at least one of them were teachers in the Scarborough Board. My parents were teachers in the Scarborough Board. And they lived in the same, we were West Hill, sort of down Centennial Road in Lawrence.
Yep.
They were up at Centennial and I was in the Charlottetown area, a catchment. And, we'd be playing in our bands at the time and nobody was famous at that point. And, our moms would literally go like, how's your son's band doing? Oh, how are your boys doing? How are the band? That kind of thing. It's like, mom's like, oh yeah. What's the name of the bands? They're changing names. Right. And Cregan's plural mom. I was like, oh, it's Bare Naked Ladies. I remember my mom telling me in And I'm like, yeah, no, I know over there. And she's like, oh, just a weird name. But anyway, that's...
So my wife used to work at an organization in downtown Toronto called Park People. And she's talking to her coworker, you know, they're having drinks to meet everybody that works at the organization. And she's telling Minaz, you know, they're talking about their families and stuff. And, you know, she asks Minaz, you know, what does your husband do? Oh, he's in advertising stuff. What does your husband do? He plays in a band. I don't know if you've heard of them. Which band? Bare Naked Ladies. Happens to be Jim Cregan's wife. Nice. So that was a funny story. We've since become good friends, and yeah, just great people.
For sure. Well, that's the thing about like Canadian celebrities. It's like they just kind of live among us, and like I don't know how many times I've just kind of been downtown, and there's Mo Berg just kind of chilling out, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
100%. Yeah, absolutely.
100%. So you mentioned it earlier, coming up this weekend, Record Store Day.
Yes.
I am excited to hear the rest of the new Pearl Jam album, because I'm digging, a lot of fans are not digging it, the first single. I'm liking it from what I've heard. It just reminds me of older Pearl Jam, which is what I would like, original Pearl Jam that I love.
Yep.
Really looking forward to checking out what the new Bowie album is.
There's a new Bowie album.
Well, it's not a new album, but it's Waiting in the Sky, so it's right on the Starman time frame. So it's a new release of that time frame. I'm going to be visiting Dine Alone. What are you going to be doing for Record Store Day, and what are you excited to be released this year?
I used to go and line up and, you know, be there hours early and try to get at the front of the line. And these days, the front of the line is like now, you know, 11 p.m. or earlier the day before. And it's just like, I'm too old for that now.
Oh, I'm not suggesting I'm going to be standing in line. I'll be going at like noon or one, and whatever's gone is gone, and I'll just flip through the rest.
And that's pretty much kind of my tactic these days. It's like, I will go, I will see what's out there, and then if I can't find what I want to pick up, I put out feelers with other people that I know who are going, and often, you know, someone else can pick something up for me in Hamilton and then get it to me later. The two releases that I'm really looking forward to is, there's a Cranberries release of Bury the Hatchet. So it has been released on vinyl before, but this is kind of a definitive edition that has all the B-sides from that era. And then the second one is Dolores O'Riordan, which is the lead singer of the Cranberries. Yeah. Her first solo album, it's being released onto vinyl. So that one's going to be a bit trickier, because I think the pressing is a lot smaller. And it's only a Record Store Day exclusive. I think it's like regional. And so... who knows if it's even going to be coming up here or whatnot. So fingers crossed. But it's one of those things. It's like, I'm not going to line up early. I'm not going to go to eBay or Discogs and pay an extortionate amount of money. If I get them, I get them. If I don't, I don't. I think especially moving this collection three times now, it's like I've definitely slowed down in terms of adding to it. I'm actually kind of considering selling some stuff off and bringing the collection lower. We'll see. The big thing right now for me, it's like, I guess it's it's like an investment. And
yeah,
it's like, oh, if I need money for something, I could sell chunks if needed.
Yeah.
Fair enough, man. Fair enough.
Makes sense. And where will you be going shopping? If
well, I'm out in Bowmanville these days. So yeah. There's a couple of shops in Oshawa that I'll Cops. Probably check out. There's the Cops and there's Spinning Again, I think it's called, or something like that. Yeah. And there's a Now and Then Records in the Oshawa Center. So there's like three main shops there. And then I don't know if there's another shop in Whitby, and the Whitby Toys R Us is getting the HMV mini shop. So I don't know if they're getting record really? Store day stuff, but that could be an option.
Cool. The one of Fixin? The one of
yep.
Fixin and Taylor? Yeah.
So interesting. I know, I guess earlier this year, HMV open mini shops in various Toys R Us's around the GTA. Ooh. I think it was like six or seven. And they're slowly opening up more. And I think it's in association with, I think they're owned by Sunrise now. Don't quote me on that, but I think that's where they're getting their stock from.
Very nice.
That's really interesting. So before we shut things down, a couple of questions. First one is, tell us about your podcast. What's it about? Who's on next?
So it's something I wanted to kind of start for a long time. But I didn't want to be doing something where it's like, oh, I'm going to be interviewing like this artist and this artist and this artist. I really wanted to
kind of focus. Those are the worst podcasts, by the way.
Yeah, you know, Neil Young or like Eddie Lee, Stephen Page. Who wants to hear about them? That being said, I looked out kind of what was out there, and what really interested me was getting into the head of other collectors. So really that was the kind of the focus is other collectors, and there will be other there's a record press called Microform in Toronto who's kind of reached out and said, hey, if you guys ever want to do an interview, they're available. So nice. We might do something like that. Tomorrow I am actually going to be interviewing Derek Antonio from Pop Music, which is indie record store on Broadview in Toronto. So we're going to be talking about Record Store Day. So that will be coming out later this week.
Awesome.
Very cool. Very cool. So I usually like to wrap it up with a question that's around what are people listening to in their earbuds, but I'm not going to ask that. What I'm going to ask you is, in your collection, what is something that people should check out that they might not know about?
Oh. So I'm going to, let's see. Actually, I'm going to bring up something in my collection, which is kind of like a collection within a collection.
Cool.
And they're actually right down here. 1 second.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So I don't know if you, there you go. So this is Peter and the Wolf. With David Bowie as the narrator. And I didn't necessarily hear this version when I was growing up, but in grade school, I think it was around grade 3 or 4, we saw Peter and the Wolf. And I don't know if you guys had that at your school, but like it was one of those kind of like during music class, they played Peter and the Wolf, the orchestration, and it really kind of stuck with me. And then I realized that there are various different versions of Peter and the Wolf with different narrators
That is so cool.
So I started, so this is like, this one has Mia Farrow as the narrator. And I started collecting different versions of Peter and the Wolf. And it's a piece, it's like classical music, but each of the instruments represent a different animal. And yeah, it's a story being told of Peter, who's this young boy who ends up kind of exploring, I think, the woods or near his home. But there's a wolf that also lives in that woods. And, you know, he shouldn't be in the woods because he might get attacked by the wolf. And yeah, so there's Peter
Ustinov. Wow.
So there's various different versions. And I have, you can see, like...
Are they all in English?
Yes. As far as I know, they're all in English. And...
That's amazing.
That's so cool.
This one's Lauren Green.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, so whenever I kind of... Oh, and this one's Rich Little. Do you remember, guys?
Yeah, of course. Rich Little? Comedian, yeah.
And this one was conducted by the Toronto Symphony. So yeah, so many different versions. And whenever I kind of see a new one that I don't have, I pick it up. And it's one of those pieces of music that that has kind of stuck with me since I was a kid. And sometimes when I bring it up with people, people remember it, and sometimes they don't. If you haven't heard it, look it up. And
Peter and the Wolf.
Peter and the Wolf. It's whimsical, instrumental. Yeah. It's have you guys heard it? Or
yeah.
For
years ago. Yeah. But who would have thought that would have been the recommendation?
That's awesome.
Ronnie, to that question. Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Absolutely. Peter and the Wolf. Ronnie, where can people find your podcast? Where should they go? And what's the name of it again?
It's the Vinyl Junkie Podcast. So you can find it right now on Spotify or on YouTube under Vinyl Junkie Podcast. And you can also find me on Instagram at vinyljunkie.ca on Instagram.
Awesome. Ronnie, this has been fun.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's been a blast. It's been a pleasure. And great to chat with you. And looking forward to bumping you IRL sometime. Down the road, maybe at a concert, maybe at where did we
record use this? Store, maybe
record store day, at a PodCamp Toronto. You never know, but thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.